I'll let you know right off that I'm not going to preach from Haggai. Some time ago, I was scheduled to speak over at Singsas Free Lutheran on Pastor Ron's day off. We visited on the phone one evening, and Ron asked me what my sermon title was going to be. And I said, it was Worthy as the Lamb. And got kind of quiet on the phone for a little while. And finally, Ron said, last week, my sermon title was Behold the Lamb. He had talked about John the Baptist introducing Jesus to the nation of Israel as the promised Messiah, the one that was going to take upon himself the sins of the world. And this week, as I preached, my talk would reintroduce Jesus to the throne room of heaven, having finished his work of redeeming mankind for God for all of eternity. Ron and I just marveled at how God leads and directs. So as I was pondering a talk for today, I looked through some of my past sermons that I was given here at Calvary, and I think I've laid some pretty heavy stuff on you over the time. And Brian has been preaching on the minor prophets, and that's some pretty heavy stuff too. And so God just leads me today to simply exalt our Lord, to exalt our Lord Jesus. That's why the songs that we've been singing have been doing that. I came to Sunday school this morning, and what did we do? We exalted the Lord Jesus. It just prepared my heart for this message. Again, God just leads. So I'm going to go back to the references that both Ron and I used for our sermons on those two succeeding Sundays, from John 1, beginning at verse 25, and then to Revelation 5. So would you take your Bibles and stand, please, as we read those passages, the first one from John chapter 1. John the Baptist is at the Jordan River when this takes place, and there was a group sent from the Pharisees come up to him. And now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." John testified, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." And then please turn to Revelation chapter 5. This chapter is part of John's vision when he is caught up into the throne room of heaven. "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, the men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." You may be seated. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, there's no understanding apart from the intervention of your Spirit. Guide each one of us this morning in what is spoken and in what we hear. Help us to see Jesus in a way we may not have seen him before. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. So John the Baptizer is at the Jordan River, carrying on his baptism of repentance, and Jesus approaches. John proclaims to everyone within earshot, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he talks about the dove which descends from heaven, the Spirit of God, upon Jesus. The other three Gospels also say that the heavens opened and the voice of God was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, what a confirmation there of what John has proclaimed. Jesus is the promised Messiah, promised throughout all of the Old Testament. And we heard read in our scripture readings this morning from Philippians. Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the one sent from God to redeem all people, the one sent to redeem you and me. This is Jesus' willing humiliation for each one of us. And so we fast forward to Revelation 5. Jesus' three-year ministry is complete. The Jewish leaders have accomplished their mission of having Jesus arrested, tried before Pilate, crucified, and eliminated, they think, forever. However, John the Apostle has this vision. He takes us to the throne room of heaven. God the Father is seated on the throne. In his hand, he holds a book, a sealed book. This is not an ordinary book. It is not a book that is simply to be read. Never once in this vision is a single word read from the book. What's in the book is vital, but first it must be opened. Its seals must be broken. Everything that must take place on earth from this time and forward is the content of the book. But it can't take place unless the seals are opened. The opening of the seals not only reveals what is in the book, but it carries out the events that take place in this world. And then John sees a mighty angel who calls out with a great voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose its seals?" And no one comes forward. There's no one in the whole universe able to do so. And John begins to sob. There are prophecies that must be fulfilled. The age must be brought to a close. Jesus must return to claim his own. If the book is not opened, none of these things can take place. Is it any wonder that John weeps? One of the 24 elders who surround the throne speaks to John, "Lo, the conquering lion, the one out of the tribe of Judah, the shoot of David, is able to open the book and its seven seals." We heard the preview of that when Isaiah was read. Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He alone has won the ultimate victory. His cross, his death, his resurrection, his return to the Father have put Jesus back into his rightful place of authority in the kingdom of God. He is the one who was given the task of bringing the creation back to what it was meant to be. In doing so, he has earned the right to open the book. And here's where we come to the place where this passage just takes hold of me. And I hope that it takes a hold of you also. We have been told a lion, a conquering lion, is worthy to open the seals in order to carry out the events on earth. So we look, just as John looked, to that scene in heaven's throne room. We see, as John did, standing in the midst of the elders, not a lion, but a lamb. This lamb shows the signs of being slain. Our Lord and King, even though he is a mighty lion, did not overcome by destroying his enemies with his unlimited power, with legions of angels. Instead, he bought us. He won us. He freed us from the power of sin and death, by sacrificing himself. Again, we hear these same words. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the lion who for you and me became the sacrificial lamb. I think it's also interesting and to me very, very important that this lamb that is seen in this word picture shows the signs of being slain. I expect when I meet him, fall at his feet, I will see the marks of the nails in his feet. And as he reaches down to me to lift me up, I'll touch the nail prints in his hands. and that touches me. Passages like these should leave us awestruck. Sometimes I think we're just about afraid to believe it. It's too good to be true. But that's the kind of God we have. All that he asks is that we recognize our sin, turn from it in repentance, and simply accept his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. And there's always that call to the cross. If anyone has put this off, don't wait any longer. Today is the day of salvation. Our Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And it also seems significant to me where we find Jesus in this word picture. The passage literally says, in the middle of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the middle of the 24 elders. We might expect to find the conquering Christ on the throne. On the throne, high and lifted up. Instead, we find him in the middle of the elders. The Greek word that we have translated elders is presbyteroi, or in English we would say presbyters. Presbyters is defined as the keepers of the word. Some interpreters have seen in these 24 elders the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New. I don't know. Other interpreters simply call them the keepers of the word. Either way, it seems to me that we're looking at the faithful followers of Christ, that faithful remnant that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that have worked to keep the word of God pure and undefiled. Isn't that what we are trying to do even today? Isn't that why we have been led to where we are here at Calvary right now? I think so. We are charged with keeping God's word pure and undefiled. And I can only say, what a scene this is. Jesus, the Lamb of God, appears with his own, those he has redeemed. He is, by his humanity, one of us, and by his deity, our Lord and King. And so we see the Lamb comes forward to his Father's throne. He takes the book out of God's hand. With that action, everything which is to take place here on earth is now assured. The conquering Christ has taken charge of the world that he has redeemed. Satan is a defeated foe. Now the scene shifts back to the elders. Each one holds a harp for the purpose of worship. They also hold bowls of fragrance, which are the prayers of the saints. And here I would say, please don't limit the saints to a select few. If Jesus is your Savior, you are counted in the number called the saints. For me, as I read this passage, our prayers take on a whole new significance. They are fragrance. They are worship to Jesus and the Father. Our prayers matter. They come before the throne. They are taken in by God as sweet incense. I can only say that, is there any doubt that a God who receives our prayers as worship will also answer them in ways we can't even imagine? Those of you who are prayed for here this morning, believe that. Believe that. The elders and the living ones fall down in worship to the Lamb and to the one who sits on the throne. They're singing a new song. It's the song of redemption for mankind. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy to take the book and open its seals. And all the angels join with the elders and the living creatures, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then all of creation joins in. May each one of us be numbered in that great band of all creation, adding our praise. The living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders, the keepers of the word, fell down in worship. This is the exaltation of Jesus. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for giving us this glimpse, just a little glimpse of glory. We do join in that worship. We join in the new song. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who shed his blood for each one of us. Thank you for receiving these prayers as sweet incense. I would ask that you would open us, open our hearts to your answers. Answers that aren't always what we expect. Answers that sometimes we may not even desire. But answers that bless us, grow us, sanctify us, change and challenge us. And we offer these prayers in the name of him who is worthy, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.